Howdy, and welcome to episode 13 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday, featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in our small towns like ours, so we use Hello Fairview to fill that void with news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value that you receive. This concept was founded by the podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host John C. Dvorak from the No Agenda show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, so if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, job openings, please don't hesitate to let me know. You are a producer of the show. You are not a product, because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for value. Some of these shows will be longer. Some of these other shows will be shorter, but I'll do my best to always keep things relevant. Traffic time. Normal busy. You can still wait 2 to 5 minutes to make a left in the morning and afternoon. Cumberland 100 is getting some work. They're still working on those culverts on the east and westbound side. The east side of that intersection is really tore up now as they're moving the gas lines and going under the driveways and through some driveways as they prepare to move that line over before they start widening the road so that utility is not on that line. So we're out over a year from that being done. Red light update. Yep, we still got 3, Old Cox, Publix, and Walmart. I haven't seen any movement on the city center entrance and the Cumberland 100 intersection, which will be about a year from now when it's done. I'm not sure how, either one of those 2 new red lights are going to help or hurt with the morning and school rush in the evening. So we will see. We're growing. So when it comes to city news right now, Christmas trees are still out there. There'll still be some this weekend at Messick Chiropractic at the Scouts BSA Troop 297 here in Fairview. There's still Christmas trees at Farm Fresh Vintage. And there were Christmas trees at the Pinewood Christmas tree farm at the edge of Franklin, but they appear to be sold out as of last weekend. So there may be some other big box stores, but I would highly recommend supporting a small business or a nonprofit group when you're buying your Christmas tree. Property news. So they haven't did a report in a while, but November 17th through 21st, right before Thanksgiving there was 14 homes sold, one for $1.6 million, one piece of property for $50,000, and the average sell price for that week was $702,000. Other city news, it's still the last call for your picket orders for the Bowie Nature Park Playground, so you can get that personalized. I would recommend getting that, dedicated to a family member, to your pets, to a sports team, to a local nonprofit, anything, or just a hello over there. So I would definitely recommend doing that. To place your order, please do that. Did you know that the city of Franklin offers leaf removal? We saw this post from their social media. Leaves must be placed in a biodegradable bag and placed curbside. If you are in need of the bags, you can pick them up at the codes department, which is at 7111 Bowie Lake Drive. The leaf removal service follows the work zone map, which I put a link in the show notes, and check out the website to see what zone you're in, so you know which zone you're in and then when the zone is. But chipper and leaf cleanup service, the basic thing, the chipper service is from April through October, and then the leaf service runs the first Tuesday in November through the fourth Tuesday in March. There are 4 separate zones for removal, so make sure you check that out, and I put all those links in there so you can make sure that you know. I didn't see this post earlier from previous shows, so I don't know why it was there. Other city news, the Fairview Inn got a 83 on its inspection right before Thanksgiving. There's a news article that I put a link in there, but basically there was some ice machine had some damage and dirt buildup. And then there was some old stuff stacked out there. Some of the things have damage. There's no anti-slip in the tubs and the bathtubs. There was some damage to the windows with some cracks. There was no hangers provided. provided. Some of the mattresses in the rooms have stains. Furniture in the room has damage and damage to the walls in there. So I know it's an older motel, but I guess that's how it goes. I didn't think that some of that stuff would be under health, like cracks in the window or whatever, but I guess so. Town meeting updates. So there was no Board of Zoning Appeals. There was one new meeting for there. And so that one was around 70-ish homes. So in the past 3 months, we've approved 163 plus 183 plus 70 homes. So well over 300, almost 400 homes. So December 9th, this is a double header. There was two meetings. December 9th, there was a planning commission meeting. There was four people missing from it, so there was only five people present. The agenda was passed. The minutes were passed. No big deal. And then the new business, which was that was put on the docket, which was PC 5325, which is 62 acres, was trying to go. There was 93 homes submitted originally when it was RS10, which is what it is. But now, since they're asking for RS15, they think that it looks like it'll maybe be around 70 houses. And this is on Horn Tavern Road. And so we've got the links in there for that. City planning staff talked about that the TPUDC work session was delayed to the first of the year. January 13th meeting will be where they work on it or vote on it. So they'll have a working meeting between now and then. Everybody else was saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, especially when it came to the roundtable comments and everything like that. And then this had to be a world record because this meeting only lasted 17 minutes and 20 seconds, which really was probably 16 minutes and 50 seconds because of the intro and them getting the audio going and all that. But yeah, so they knocked that out. There was only one thing really on the agenda to vote. And then there was a December 4th Board of Commissioners meeting, and basically that one was cool because we had the mayor of Biztown, which is a really, really awesome thing that our elementary kids get to do, came in there and did that. There was a little intro. They had some audio problems at the beginning, and then it got rolling. The mayor of Biztown did the speech that he did, Mayor Nico, to be able to get it. And so that was really good. So citizen comments were expanded to from 5 to 7 based on that. So basically now we have another problem we have heard multiple times from the Richvale subdivision. This one was Pinnock Place, and that there is flooding in the common areas and down the streets and many of the yards. Talked about some of the water flow and how they, you know, want to try to figure out how to get it fixed. They're in the same thing. Then we had another, you know, same two people or three people from Richvale that had really talked about DRB and Brightland Homes and the problems that they had. They were coming up to their 1 year anniversary for that warranty, and they were worried that it was getting dropped off there. They talked about all the trusses and everything that we've talked about before, and doesn't understand how they even got through those inspections with this many things like that. And apparently even some of those roof trusses were even spray painted from the inside, like they were marked during a framing inspection, but then they were never fixed. So this is definitely tough. So they've got, you know, $50,000 to $150,000 in damage between all the people there. Individually, that's what most people's prices are. Another Richvale resident talked about the building reports, mentions the, you know, the floor joist, that like four floor joists were cut for a dryer vent so that it would pass, but it still passed. So there was trusses that were disconnected, which causes all kinds of floor problems. They talked about lot 6, which is where they had removed all the ducting and insulation because of all the mold problems, which is, you know, obviously admission of guilt that there's a problem. And that house still hasn't sold. It's went under contract a couple times. Another lady that talked about it last time was talking about how they failed some of the inspections and sent some of that in. And another Richvale resident talked about how the city should be taking this seriously because it is a health problem when it's related to mold in these houses, and that they should do something. That there were 1,600 mold spores are coming from the air vents, and you know they would have a $55,000 quote to get that addressed from them. And then this one is the house is sagging 1 to 1.5 inches and it's causing cracking. They had a $50,000 to $70,000 quote that they need to, you know, execute to fix the house. And they were trying to figure out how to negotiate with a builder or file a lawsuit. So then the agenda was approved. Then the city events they talked about, the Fairview Choir and dance team will be performing at the Christmas tree lighting, which is on the 5th, and talked about the Christmas parade, that there was 44 entries, which is the largest it's been since they took it over. In previous times, it was in the 80s to 90s. So that was the largest I'd ever seen working through there. Final notice on the picket order, we talked about that. The Fairview Titans pro football team was there, the mini Super Bowl champions. Mayor Anderson talked about them and how they didn't, you know, let anyone score all year, which is, you know, obviously unprecedented in multiple ways. The coaching team talked about all the hard work, and the vice mayor and even Mr. McDonald, who works within the program, said that, you know, they got their picture after that and rolled out. Mr. Nico did a speech. Mayor Anderson talked about the and introduced the FCCLA care closet, and they talked about the organization's goal in the closet and how it would help students and faculty, and the how it could be a gateway to help others if they need items frequently, like if they need deodorant and they need these types of products or this or that and toothpaste and all that, then it could be a sign of distress at the home. So that is kind of cool. We've talked about that in Jacket News a couple times with the FCCLA because it's been in the news there. City manager report made sure and talk about that they are closed the 24th and 25th. The city is busy. Ms. Roberts asked if they'd be working session on the TPUDC side, but obviously we were in the future just a little bit ago, so we already know that that's been pushed off. And Mr. Buffalini asked if he could also talk about the balances of some of the city funds each meeting, just so that everyone publicly knew what those things are. So that was good. The agenda was passed 5-0. Old business 2025-23, second and final reading for 7111 Harrison Drive. Public hearing, there was no speakers. This is 9 homes put on 3.73 acres, which is kind of crazy. It's zoned to have 10, but one of them will be a water tower. That was passed 5-0. This has been brought up before, which is why it's its second and final reading. So this is, you know, all done now. So it went from RS-40 to RS-10, so 10,000 square foot lots. Ordinance 2025, second and final reading on 7104 Hall Road. This passed 5-0 also. Property representative said, you know, R-R-10 isn't in the plan there. But there's a bunch of easements. They talked about the, it looks like this one got mixed up here. No, it is. Yeah. It was the easement of the road. Talked about it. It should have probably been RS-20. It came in through there. It was a negative recommendation from the staff, but the representative mentioned that it is conventional sewer, unlike some rumors around that it was going to be another step system. But, you know, they were really close to RS-20, but they had to go to RS-15 just because of the lot shapes and some of the easement stuff. Talked about the entrance, talked about the size and how the density is similar in other situations. So RS-10 is not out of this world to do it. And then we asked about that. This one passed 3-2, and Commissioner Roberts and Buffalini were both nay. So that came out. So that was good there that they could try to slow it down, but obviously it still passed. Went through all that. Mr. McDonald asked about, you know, what was going to be done on the property, gapped through some of that. Has made some trips there and highlighted the location of it and the driveway and how it would exist into there. So, but ultimately it passed. So, and then we can, Commissioner Buffalini even asked a direct question to the representative that, could we just have fewer houses? And, then that's when the density question came up. New business 6225 passed, 5-0, which was basically accepting, the board of commission, the subdivision improvements on Adams Preserve. And then there was another one, resolution 6325, pass 50 also. But this one was talking about Pinnock Place. And Mr. Greer talked about how this is the HOA owns that common area property, and it's on them to fix these issues and not the builder and not the city. It went back and forth a couple times. Mr. Curtis, the city engineer, talked about how he's made a trip over there and saw some stuff, made some recommendations of things, but nothing that violated the code. The city lawyer jumped in and said that this is a HOA and citizens issue and not a city issue because of those drainage things. So, but yeah. So 6425 passed 50. This is something that allows the fire chief talked about it, that they will work as EMTs within Williamson County and be certified annually. And this, there isn't anything in this that needs to change. It's a standard 3-year agreement. The city lawyer mentioned that this wasn't done properly the years before, 3 years earlier, and that the, you know, BOC will still approve this after the Planning Commission here. The resolution of Board of Commissioners would go for, the Board of Commissioners would have to approve this. Then open discussions, they talked about the out parcel. Vice Mayor McDonald put this on there, and he basically asked about, like, you know, if there would be a possibility that that we could make one of those botanical gardens that Natchez Greenhouse presented the previous month, and just wanted to get a temperature of the room. This obviously wasn't, you know, any kind of binding thing, but there was, you know, there was one question that was interesting, was how much money is in the tree bank, which I think is how much a builder has to pay per tree they cut down. And it was over $500,000, and we haven't, you know, really used that for anything, and this would help our park. So this could be cool. Commissioner Buffalini, Roberts, and Hall all like this idea in general. And but Commissioner Roberts, her only extra point that she still believes that this needs to be brought into a land trust to help protect it the same way that Bowie Park is protected too, so that it can't be just owned by the city in this direct manner right now. And in the roundtable, Commissioner Buffalini said that, you know, obviously he felt for all these Richvale residents, and, you know, he asked about, you know, how did some of these houses not only had 6 inspections instead of 11 inspections. Mr. Greer commented that that's because if they're built on a slab, then there's no inspection of the crawl space. If they're built this way, then there's no inspection on that. So that's why every house doesn't get 11, but it just depends on that construction type. And we talked about, he asked about the health issues and any updates on the city signs. Talked about the Fairview Titans and the Fairview Biztown mayor speaking there and how that was cool. Mr. Greer did that. City lawyer jumped in again. To Mr. Buffalini, saying these are legal issues and not city issues, and he would advise that city staff would not talk about them. He's heard the residents and even talked about some of the possible claims, because he's worked on a construction defect lawsuits before in his private practice. He gave them, you know, contact information to an attorney that they can all work together with, but the city has no business discussing this in a meeting. We cannot speculate about it. The warranty remains valid even if they submit a claim legally after that, just on the terms of that. And since the builder is still building, there isn't anything we can do with their permits, and we cannot check on the inspection process regarding the health issues. If they want an inspection from the city, if this is habitable, if it's deemed inhabitable, now the person has to move out, and he doesn't think that they'll want that kind of help. And I would agree. City manager is saying on the signs that they're in the final bid process, and there should be a meeting next week when we're ready. Commissioner Roberts said that she's excited to that she understands why people can't respond, and this government role of the Richvale residents here, is excited about the Christmas tree lighting and the parade. Commissioner Hall said, you know, it was a good night with some good news in some areas and bad news in others. The Parks and Landscape agenda had 7 people, and they talked about Bowie had a zip line, which isn't allowed because of insurance, signing discussions for non-smoking things, Veterans Park getting a roadmap for the ADA and their 5-year plan for an ADA trail, Historic Village, there are still things rolling along there, thanks the Titans for a great game. Thanks, Mayor Nico. And he, his heart bleeds for everyone in those Richvale residents. Vice Mayor McDonald talked to Mr. Greer about the TPUDC, which we've already covered there before. There was multiple meetings scheduled, and they're very confident, like 99%, that this will still happen in January, like they talked about. They've also started making maps for the conversion of the zones. They had 4 to 5 owners reach out to them and edit some things, which is at the top of the City of Fairview's website right now. And thank Mr. Nico for doing the speech and the Titans, and almost Merry Christmas, but we have one more meeting before Christmas. Mayor Anderson, thanks to Mayor Nico and the Titans and the Richvale residents, and that she just doesn't, she hurts along with them, and you know, the word is getting out, and we hope that this is helping you. Christmas lighting, tree lighting is tomorrow, and make sure and bring the kids. Thank you for Richard for getting such an excellent Christmas tree that was talked about before. I remember the tree before, it was kind of puny. This one is awesome that we've had for the past couple years. Hoped everyone shows up and we have great great weather and thoughts and prayers with Mr. Bill after his passing, which was a Fairview resident. And then Board of Commissioner town halls, none of that. Parks and landscape, we already kind of talked about that. That was on December 5th, the recap there. There's 7 people that joined up. Around Town Coffee is on today. And next town meetings, the Planning Commission has a meeting on January 13th. Board of Commissioners has one at December 18th. Board of Commissioners Town Hall is January 29th. Park and Landscape Board is now January 5th, 2026. And Around Town Coffee is today, just like we mentioned. And January 14th is their next one. The Beer Board has nothing planned. State of Tennessee. Right now, apparently there's some tight Tennessee budget stuff going through here. The Tennessee Comptroller, Jason Mumpower, is predicting a strict budget in fiscal year 26-27. He claims that the funding of the board that sets the budget growth exceeds the budget growth for each year. Based on economic forecasts, told to be on the lookout, he believes that this will be the tightest budget in the Lee administration he has ever experienced in nearly 8 years. And then in 2024, AgTrack continues to support innovations across the state in the agricultural sector. Award recipients are listed below in alphabetical order by county. So Summitville Grain is going to be in Coffee County getting some stuff. Meat Man in Davidson County, which is a meat processing company. By Faith Farm in Davidson County is another food processor getting something on this grant. Consolidated Grain and Barge Co. in Dyer County, which has a grain elevator. Silver Bait will be at Grundy County, and that's vermiculture. Protrition in Rutherford County is a feed mill. Fairgrounds is in the news, where voters are trying to get a referendum to block NASCAR-style racing in there in favor of affordable housing and green space in the fairgrounds. This has been going on for over 40 years and probably actually even longer than that once that track was built and used. So it has never been quiet over there, especially when they tore down the fairgrounds flea market side of things and some of those buildings, rebuilt some stuff. Some of those expo halls are really good. So TPAC apparently is moving to the East Bank project. Wow, what would that mean with the current James K. Polk building? I don't know. Will the city sell it, repurpose it? Who knows? I think that it will take a lot more development to make people want to go to that side of the river, which breaks the walkability to TPAC right now. So we'll have to see how that kind of spans out. Tennessee Supreme Court vacated the court's judgment on a 2022 state map that was thought to be unconstitutional, ruling that voter misnumbered Davidson County District lacked standing to challenge the map. The ruling also upheld a lower court's decision that declared the 2022 House redistricting map was constitutional. So that is good. The Bills. Wow, a pile of things are going on. First canceled meeting on the show was December 10th on today. That was the fiscal review was canceled. There are meetings next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They are finally getting to work and getting some last things done. The State Building Commission is meeting, and the executive subcommittees, education, health, and wellness and government opportunities is doing. They have three meetings, plus judicial and government oversights, and government operations rule review is happening next week on the 16th, the 16th, 17th, and 17th. So a couple of those have some agendas in there. Most of those are pretty as normal, not very helpful, very detailed. How's the Hill? Well, the Hill's doing okay. It is definitely cold, yo. The weather guessers are predicting highs in the 40s to 40s, with lows going to 36, but even down to single digits the first time so far on Sunday starting this week. Winter is finally here for sure now. New businesses, nothing new spotted. Ace Hardware is definitely getting its external stuff and getting ready to be dried in across from there. The property across from Car Orthotics is finally for sale after weeks of, you know, after months of leveling and clearing. Other than that, I haven't spotted anything new on here, and we're waiting for some more ribbon cuttings and stuff like that. Farmers Market. Make sure you head to the Farmers Market every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts for their life-changing apple fritters, located down across the road from Publix and Hardee's and all that. There are so many good places to get breads, treats, local beef and pork, fruits, vegetables, along with some hot sauce, fishing lures, a lot of holiday gifts, especially this time of year. Brick and mortar highlight. Fast Paced Tennessee is who we're going to highlight. If you've had the sniffles, been sick, or need a physical, this is probably one of the most popular places and choices to go to in town. They usually look pretty empty, and their service is usually pretty fast because of that. Obviously, your mileage will vary, but we've had very good luck over the years getting in and out of there like bandits for physicals and sniffles. It's also a good place to get those physicals done, and they even have online scheduling. You could do it. We've done that. So we've got their link in the web in the website there. Job openings. So a police officer opening, associate planner, just like we talked about last time, has been removed. Jingo Market needs a cashier. Then we have jobs at Dixon Medical Associates, Walmart, Cornerstone Financial, Publix, Dunkin', Domino's, Boys and Girls Club, Subway, Big Heart Moving, The Pearl, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Sherman Williams, Sonic, AMS Seals, McDonald's, SPEG, Tractor Supply Co., Marmon Holdings, Hardee's, and Destination Pet LLC. And these jobs are all local here in Fairview. There's probably others. If you have any other job postings or some internships or something like that, please let us know. Just reach out on the contact form and let us know. History Nugget. Well, this is episode 13. Is this unlucky show 13 or is this lucky show 13? Where did the fear of 13 begin? Nobody really knows for sure, but the phenomenon dates back to very ancient times. Here's a few examples of why 13 is an unlucky number, maybe, right? At the Last Supper, Judas was the 13th guest, and we all know how that went, right? In Norse mythology, Loki crashed a banquet of a dozen gods as the 13th partygoer, kind of like Judas in there, who caused a celestial uproar when he killed one of those divine guests with a poison arrow. Oh, cool stuff there. This is not like your Marvel Loki. In many old stories, three might be a crowd, but 13 might be tragic, basically referencing to each one of those. There was also a famous Apollo, failure is not an option, in the 13th lunar mission, not the most successful outer space mission, right? In the Apollo 13 there. In a tarot card deck, the 13th card is death, often pictured as a pale horse with its rider on there. So, yep. And apparently the fear of 13 is called triskaidekaphobia, which is the fear of 13. I didn't know there was actually a clinical phobia. But 13 can't be that bad, right? There's plenty of examples of positive connections. There are 13 stripes on the American flag that represent the 13 colonies here. Taylor Swift was born on December 13 and considers 13 her lucky number. So if the Swifties say that, then maybe it's there. The Italian expression "fair tredici," which translated means make 13, means you hit the jackpot. So there's a saying about that being good. If you've got a baker's dozen at a bagel or donut shop, the 13th one is still pretty tasty if you get an extra one. But another fun fact of this is the Otis Elevator Company has reported that 80 to 90% of elevators that they have installed in skyscrapers do not have the 13th floor button. On the flip side, the iconic Empire State Building does have a 13th floor. And then the tragedy that happened with the Apollo 13 mission of just it being a hot mess, it led them to rename the STS-13 mission to STS-41G so that it didn't have the unlucky 13 in it. Upcoming events. Well, recap first. The Christmas tree lighting and parade were both a hit. Lots of people turned out to both of those. Thank you for the city and all the volunteers that make that happen. It was great to see. Lots of good pictures posted all over the place of almost every single float. So that was great. New upcoming events. Well, today is Fur, Fangs, and Facts at Bowie Nature Center from 10 to 11 a.m. And then this is the weekend at the middle school, Fairview Middle School, for Adams Family. On the 11th tonight is their show opener, on the 11th tomorrow is their show opener, 12th, 13th, and then Sunday they have one show at 2 p.m. Bowie also has on the 19th for their last thing of the year is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Bowie Nature Center will be some ornament creation stations going on. So if you want to go get your arts and crafts on, head to the Nature Center on December 19th. For the kids, there's still tons of activities in Fairview to keep your kids engaged. There are cheer programs, recreation teams for baseball, basketball, football, and others. There's a thriving Girl Scout and Scouts BSA program in there. So if you've got any elementary to high school age kids, there's something to do in scouting for both of them. If you're a homeschooler, make sure you're always checking out the Bowie Park schedule because there's lots of clubs that meet there officially and unofficially. If you have kids interested in dance, gymnastics, or cheers, please check out Lala's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer. Vigilance Martial Arts is our local taekwondo and jiu-jitsu school that teaches more than moves. The Fairview Jacket Youth Wrestling Program is great and has lots of summer options. Lots of champions have been made through that program. School news. Well, Christmas break starts on December 18th as just a half day, and they come back January 5th, 2026. Hawk and Tiger news. No new news since last week. And so if anyone ever has any news for that, please let us know. In Falcon news, the girls, the wrestling team competed in their sectionals with one of them placing first, third, and fourth. Great job, ladies, for that. The winter choir was last Friday was a hit. And thank you for the PTO and Lala's Dance Studio for all the work on the wreath fundraiser, which those wreaths were given out on 12-1. Only a couple weeks left in school before winter break, and study guides and final exams should be there no later than December 8th. Girls flag football is official, and it's ready for the spring, and will be part of that Dixon County Middle School League. Tuesday there was a home basketball game versus Sunset for there. Tomorrow on Thursday, there will be a basketball game at Mill Creek starting at 4 and at Mill Creek with the regular team, varsity team there. So basically half the teams are there at Mill Creek and half the teams are home. The MTAC Christmas baseball tournament will be at Franklin High School on Saturday, the December 13th. That's going to be a cold one, it looks like. December 15th is exam week, so buckle up. The Renaissance High School program still has its applications open till January 7th. On January 15th at 6 p.m., there will be a meeting about the mechatronics program in the FPAC at the high school to learn more about this program if you've got an eighth grader. If you like Adidas, there is a discount code that will give them something. And this December to remember, Monday was mad about plaid, then Winter Wonderland, then Elf Day, then Athletic Wear Day, and Friday is Toasty Toes Day with some festive socks. We still have the links to support the theater and get tickets to the Adams Family in here, along with another school fundraising link for general supplies. Jacket news, just a week before exam, which starts on the 15th. They've even sent out special notices talking about early dismissals and how that's going to work and don't recommend missing that week. Door decorating started this week and will be judged on December 15th. And they need their doors to look like ugly sweaters. So if you've heard from your kid, they got to get the work on. The Innovation Center will discuss its programs, including its advanced power machinery, aviation, cybersecurity and AI, hospitality, tourism and culinary, and fire management systems. There's a management of parents meeting at Centennial High School on December 10th at 6:30 p.m. on today's show day here. Applications for the Innovation Center can be found in ClassLink and starting on December 2nd and closing on February 13th of 2026. Senior jackets and rings can be ordered. The ASVAB was this December 9th, so that's all done. That was done yesterday. And are you in the 8th to 12th grade looking for something to do? Obviously, the hit Broadway Waitress and regular rehearsals have already started December. And then December 18th will also be the DQ fundraising night. So we had the McTeacher night at McDonald's for the middle school. Dairy Queen will be where they're going to do that, where 20% of sales will be donated to the general fund there. And just like we talked about before, the FCCLA still has their care closet open and seeking donations. We have their Amazon shopping list on here. And obviously, if you have a student that's getting ready to drive, you need to get the checkpoints driver training from the principal and then pay for your parking pass. Faith moment. Since this episode went long with the coverage of the BOC and Planning Commission, I wanted something that was straightforward to keep the podcast under an hour. This is something that I found scrolling along, and I think it was brief, straightforward, and to the point for some of the intersections between God and science. Here we go.
Let me tell you how you can prove God's existence in 30 seconds scientifically without the use of faith. Are you open?
Sure.
I see you're smiling. Sure. Is that a cynical smile?
I'm open to hearing what you have to say.
Okay.
I think that if it were the case that you could scientifically prove God's existence in 30 seconds, everyone would believe in God, but
okay.
I don't think that everyone else is in
well,
the
let's
world
give it a
that's
try.
An atheist is so stupid.
And you
yeah.
can give me a mark, 1 out of 10, when we get to the end of it. That building is proof there was a builder. Am I right?
Sure.
You know there was a builder. Even if the builder died 50 years ago, you know, don't just believe, you know there was a builder because buildings cannot build themselves.
Okay.
That's scientific. That's knowledge. The word science just means knowledge. Creation is evidence of a creator. You look around, you see the genius of God's creative hand. Everywhere you look, and the Bible says this, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So you know God exists because you know things have been made. Let me tell you what an atheist believes. An atheist believes the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything. Not that there was nothing in the beginning, but an atheist believes that nothing gave us flowers, birds, trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, puppies, kittens, the marvels of the human eye, the miracle of childbirth, the human mind, male and female, all the species, came about because nothing was the creative force. That's insane. That's what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart there's no God. And the reason you can't find God has been said for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. That's why you can't find God, because of your guilt. God wrote his law upon your heart via your conscience. God's given light to every man. And deep down, Solomon, you know God exists. I'm not trying to convince you he exists because you know that. I'm trying to say you're in danger. You need to repent.
Welcome back. I hope you learned a little nugget about creation science. Nothing created something is the line that really got me when we talk about atheism and that nothing created all this. Something had to create something. And I think that is a very simple way and great way to kind of look at that. Donations. On the donations front, obviously still nothing has happened. We're still working on some tax stuff and trying to get some of those things ready. But if you use the Fountain app, which I highly recommend because it's a podcasting 2.0 app and you can see the podcast chapters and all these other features, unlike, you know, some of the Spotify or obviously the Apple podcasting app, you will actually get a lot more news. You'll know exactly when this podcast is released instead of waiting for hours or even days. Thank you. If you found this podcast helpful, thank you. Thank you. Please support this with your time, talent, or treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please share it with us. The contact form's out there. It'll email me. We'll put it on the next show. You are part of this show. You're a producer of this show. What talents do you have? There's skills that could might help Fairview. Let us know. Treasure is you are receiving this product for free without paid advertisements. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially using the value for value system so that we can do more. Just donate a coffee or a donut amount, you know, anything helps. So follow us on social media at hellofairview.com. There's a lot of things coming, and I hope y'all all have a great day, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Later.